Welcome to the podcast from Gateway Baptist Church. This is a message from our series on the book of 1 Peter where we're challenged to live different. You can connect with us further at gatewaybaptist.com.au.
Happy Easter, everyone. Happy Easter to everyone in the room today. Happy Easter to everyone online. Everyone who comes through the doors, everyone who joins us online is welcome. It's great to have you here today as one big family celebrating Resurrection Sunday. And if you're visiting with us, if you're here with family or friends, or you've just decided to come to church for the first time in a long time for some reason, it's so great to have you here. Everyone is welcome. I really do pray that you'd find, you know, a seat at Jesus' table today. You know, throughout all of history and in all cultures, all people have loved sitting around a table and eating with family and friends. It's a place to connect. It's a place to celebrate together. You know, we celebrate sitting around a table, our birthdays, our big milestones with funny hats on our heads. You know, we sit around tables and we celebrate a wedding, the union of man and woman coming together till death do them part. We celebrate in our Sunday best. And we celebrate the death and the resurrection of Jesus also with funny hats on our heads. I actually want to know who invented the Easter hat parade. It's really great to have all of the primary school kids in the room. Do they still do Easter hat parades at primary school? Just give me that you do. I was really hoping that they would stop them. I hate Easter hat parade. I hated it when I was a kid. You know, as a kid, I had to walk around a hot quadrangle with a cardboard rabbit on my head and a couple of, you know, eggs hanging out the side. And I hated it then. And then I became a parent of four kids. And no parent wants their kid going to the Easter hat parade with a hat that they made themselves. And so it's the parent's job to stay up till midnight, you know, making, you know, that Easter hat for their child. You know, we celebrate around tables with gifts, with funny hats. And many of us this Easter, we probably won't wear funny hats, but either today or sometime this weekend, you'll sit around a table with family and friends and you'll celebrate the Easter weekend. You might be celebrating that you've got a long weekend off work. You might be celebrating, you know, what Jesus has done for us. Or you might even know what, not know why. It's a family tradition to get around a table and to celebrate with family and friends. But the events of this Easter weekend are actually made a way, you know, for all people to be seated at Jesus' table for all eternity. You know, when we see Jesus' life on earth 2,000 years ago, we see that he too loved sitting around a table and eating with his friends. In John chapter 2, Jesus performs his very first miracle at a wedding. They're sitting around tables, they're eating and they're drinking, they're celebrating. Jesus was, you know, like every other person on earth, he loved to celebrate around a table with his friends. In fact, one of the things that he kept getting in trouble for was welcoming sinners and tax collectors to sit at his table and to eat with him. In Luke chapter 15, you know, we see him getting in trouble by the religious elite because he's welcoming people to sit at his table that they didn't think had any value. And so if you're here today and you're thinking, well, I know I'm a sinner, good news for you. There's a seat at Jesus' table for you. There's probably not many of us in the room who, identify as being a tax collector. But if you are here, welcome. It's great to have you here. But tax collectors were simply people in that culture who loved money more than God. Instead of siding with their people and with the God, the Yahweh, the God of the universe, they actually decided to side with the Romans and they lined their own pockets. They were people who loved money more than God. And if we look at it in that light, I think most of us would say at different times in our lives, we've had that struggle. What do we love more, money or God? The good news is there was a seat at the table for people who struggled with that very struggle of loving money more than God. And in Matthew chapter 22, towards the end of Jesus' life, he tells a parable, he tells a story about a father who was throwing a wedding banquet for his son. And when all the invitations went out, everyone who was invited refused to come. And so this is what Jesus says into the story. He says, the father said this, go to the street corner and invite to the banquet anyone you find. So the servants went out into the streets and they gathered all the people they could find, the bad as well as the good, and the wedding hall was filled with guests. I'm throwing a wedding banquet for my son who's getting married in 2 weeks' time, and I'm not doing that. In fact, I'm actually praying that people that are invited refuse to come because I'm paying the bill. I'm going through the invite list with the bride and the groom. I'm saying, do you really like that person? Are they really worthy of an invite? Because everybody who takes their seat around the table costs me another $100. But our Father in heaven, He wants more and more people sitting around his table. Whatever the cost, whatever it would cost, he wants more people seated at the table for all of eternity. It's the good news of Easter, is that Jesus has made a way for all people to sit at his table for all eternity. I just want to unpack just a few of the truths about the seat that you're invited to take this Easter. Firstly, it's a free seat. Not all seats are free. Some seats are very expensive. This doesn't look like a very expensive seat. It's just an ordinary flip-down kind of seat. But if you sat in this seat, a reserve seat at a Taylor Swift concert in the last couple of months, any Swifties in the room? No Swift, no one's willing to. I knew there was some. If you sat in an A reserve seat at a Taylor Swift concert in the last couple of months, do you know how much it cost? $1,389. Shake that off. That wasn't that funny. That's the only Taylor Swift song I know. I'm not willing to pay the cost, but some of you are. And some of us see God like this. So some of us see the seat that we have at the table with God, it's only certain people can earn their way there. Only certain people can earn the right to sit at the table. But I want to remind you, hanging on that cross on Good Friday next to Jesus was a criminal. Someone who knew he deserved his punishment. Someone he knew that he had done wrong and Jesus had not. And he turns to Jesus in his final moment when he's got no opportunity to redeem himself. He's got no opportunity to pay Jesus back for doing anything good for him. He's got no way to earn his way to heaven. And he simply turns toward Jesus on that cross and he said, Jesus, would you remember me when you go into your kingdom? And Jesus turns to this criminal who's done nothing good and says, today you'll be with me in paradise. I want to encourage you, it's a free seat. It's not a cheap seat, it's a very expensive seat. It actually costs a lot, the seat that you get to sit on, much more than a Taylor Swift concert. Romans chapter 6, verse 23, it says, the wages of sin is death, or the cost of our sin is death. That's not new news. That was true right from the very beginning. As God created man and woman, he said there's a way, there's a path that leads to life. There's a way of living with me as your God, that you'll live forever. And there's a path if you choose to be your own God, if you choose to live selfishly or sinfully, that leads to death. the wages or the cost of sin is death. But this is the good news of Easter. And I'm going to need you kids to help me. There's a missing word in this next verse, or the next part of the verse. But the something of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Put your hand up if you know what the missing word is, and I've got a Easter egg for you. All right, down the front. Yes? No. Yes? Third. Yell it out. Gift. Whoever said gift, run out the front right now. Give her a big hand. The gift of God. That will be $4.50, please.
I don't have any money.
You don't have any money?
No.
Have your mum and dad got any money?
I don't know.
Can you go and get some of their money for me?
No.
This cost $4.50.
I'm not getting it.
You're not getting me any money?
No.
All right, happy Easter. That egg did cost me $4.50. But when you give someone a gift, you don't pass on the cost. This is the good news of what Jesus has done for us on the cross. He has given us a free seat. It wasn't a cheap seat. It was a very expensive seat. It cost Jesus his life. He paid the cost for us so that we could take a seat at his table. It's a gift that he has given us. He's paid the cost for us, and you get a free seat at the table if you receive the gift. You've got to receive it. Secondly, it's a finished seat. I don't know if anybody else has started flat pack project from IKEA and you got 3/4 of the way through and you haven't finished. Yeah, you can't find that missing screw, or you thought the instructions were going to be in Swedish, but they're in some form of Mandarin you don't understand, and you don't speak either of those languages, and you can't follow the pictures, and you end up with an unfinished project. Or anyone else had an unfinished IKEA project, a whole bunch of us. An unfinished seat is not a comfortable seat. It's not something that you can just relax into. It's not something that you ever feel confident sitting in. It's not something that you'll ever feel very certain about. In fact, sitting in an unfinished seat would actually fill you with anxiety every time you came to it. Am I going to end up on the floor? And again, I think some of us see our relationship with God like this. We've got no confidence. We've got no certainty that we've got a seat at the table. We can't just relax and find comfort in the arms of God because we're just not certain that our relationship with him is right. And so we're filled with anxiety whenever we think about God. Some of you have walked in these doors or joined us online just anxious about even being here because you're just not confident in your relationship with God. There's three really important words that Jesus spoke on the cross. And I'm going to need kids to help me again. This one's a little bit easier. I don't think anyone will get this wrong. But Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "It is..." Someone put their hand up. Yes, buddy. Say it, big loud voice. "Finished." Let's have a look, see if he's right. Give him a big hand. Come on, run out the front. I'll tell you what I'll do. Because you're a good-looking young man, I'll give you 2 eggs if you can tell me what the Greek word is for finished. Have they taught you that in kids' church this year? I will talk to the kids' pastor. She needs to start teaching some Greek. Two eggs if you can tell me the Greek. No, it's not souvlaki. Do you know any other Greek words? All right, only 1 egg. Sorry, buddy. Well done. Give him a big hand. The Greek word, and I had to look it up too, is tetelestai. And this is the literal meaning. If you're literally in that culture translated it, it simply means paid in full. It's an accounting term. It's a term that your accountant would say at the end of the year and say, yep, you've paid your tax bill in full. As you finished a meal and you're leaving the restaurant and someone else has paid for you, the restaurant owner, if they're honest, would say, it's paid in full. The bill has been paid in full. This is the good news of the Easter weekend, that when Jesus died upon that cross, he paid the debt of your sin in full. It is finished. You got a finished seat to sit on. It's a seat that you can be confident in. You know it'll always be secure. It'll always stand up. You never have to be anxious about whether there's a place for you at the table. I just wonder if some of us today, we need to take hold of the finished work of Jesus on the cross and to begin to rest wholly. It says we get to rest wholly on the finished work of salvation that Jesus has won for us on the cross. It's a free seat and it's a finished seat. It's also a full seat. I don't know if your family gatherings look the same as mine, but in all of our big family gatherings, when the whole family gets together, there's always a, you know, a big table with all the good gear, you know, for the adults, and then there's always, you know, just a little table off to the side, just with some snacks for all the little kids to sit at. Does anybody else have a family gathering that looks a little bit like this? Come on, just put your hands up. And I was the eldest grandson on both sides of my, well, I still am, the eldest son, grandson on both sides of my family. I was sitting at this table till I was 17 years old. It's like, when do you get a full seat at the table? I actually think a bunch of us actually live in a relationship with God like this. We actually know there's others that are just getting blessed more than us, others that are experiencing more of God than us, maybe others that are experiencing God all year rather than just at Christmas and Easter. But kind of this is all I'll settle for. I'll just settle for less. There's a bunch of reasons for that. Sometimes we've got this fear of surrendering our will to Jesus, that he's going to do something terrible for us rather than invite us to a banquet. And so we settle for less because we won't surrender our will to Jesus. For others, it's an unforgiveness of self. We've heard the story time and time again that Jesus died and he paid our debt in full. We just can't forgive ourselves. And so we think this is what we deserve. There's a table full of goodies, but I'll just sit and eat the corn chips with the kids. You know, sometimes it's a lie that you're believing. Someone's spoken some lies over your life that you'll never be good enough, that you'll never amount to anything. You've actually started to believe that that's what God says about you. And you think this is all that you can ever have. And so you settle for less. Let me just read a scripture to you about Jesus and about our relationship to Jesus. In Colossians chapter 2, it says, in Christ, all the fullness of the deity, in Christ, all of the fullness of God lives in bodily form. And in Christ, you have been brought to fullness. You see, what we need to understand about what happened on the Easter weekend is because Jesus was both fully man, he just sat around a table and celebrated with people in full body, and he was fully God, all of the fullness of the deity lived in bodily form. He was fully God and he was fully man, so he's the only one that could fully take our place on the cross, and he's the only one that could offer us forgiveness because he was the full, perfect Son of God. And on that cross, he fully died. You did not survive crucifixion. And when they took him down off that cross, he was fully dead. And they placed him in a tomb, you know, for other fully dead people. But on Easter Sunday morning, when the women went to anoint his fully dead body, they found an angel there saying, "Why are you looking for the living among the dead? He is not there. He is risen." They got to the tomb and they found the tomb fully empty because the man that was fully dead was now fully alive, and he'd fully defeated the power of sin and death once and for all, and he's made a way for every single person with faith to live in the fullness of God today and forevermore. Can we just say thank you to Jesus this morning? Don't settle for less. You got a full seat at the big table. This is a bit I really want us to get this morning. In Ephesians chapter 2, it says this, and remember this scripture is true for all of us who put our faith in Jesus Christ. It says, "Because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in sin. It is by grace that you have been saved, and God raised us up with Christ." And kids, I'm going to need you to help me. There's a word missing here. "With him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus." Who can tell me what the missing word is, kids? There's one word missing. Yes. Seated. Let's see if he's right. We are seated in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. Come on down and get an air. Come on, give him a big hand as he comes. Mate, these eggs are getting a little shriveled because I left them in my car for 4 hours on Good Friday. Then I put them in the fridge. I'm pretty sure they're still going to taste okay. You happy?
Yeah.
Good. Give them a big hand. We're seated. We're seated in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. You got a full seat. You got full access. Scripture says he's prepared a table before us in the presence of our enemies. He's got a banquet for us to feed us. His word, his Bible, is like the richest of fare to strengthen us to endure. Don't settle for less. Every day, God's got a word for you. Every day, whatever you're walking through, he's got love to give you. You see, it's yours. Everything that belongs to Jesus, everything that belongs to the resurrected King is yours. It says in Ephesians chapter 1 that if you've got faith in Jesus Christ, if you've been made alive with Jesus, if you are seated in the heavenly realms with Jesus, then you are blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ. You've got a full seat at the table. Everything that Jesus has won for you on the cross and going through death and coming out the other side alive and defeating sin and death forever, all of that victory is available to you. So whatever you're walking through, Jesus says, receive that love, receive that power, receive that strength, receive that victory over sin and temptation every day. He's got what you need. Don't settle for less. You've got a full seat at the table. And it's a forever seat. Some of us have got seats like this hidden in our shed in the backyard. We pull them out once or twice a year when we've got a crowd of people. We paid $7.50 at Bunnings for them, and they're worth about $7.50. You kind of, you know, don't want to sit in it too long because it's not that comfortable, and you're really not sure how long it'll hold your weight up for. You're just waiting for it to break. They're faded, they're dirty. It's a temporary seat. I actually think some people view Christianity like this. It's just a temporary fad that we go through. Maybe it's a temporary fad that our culture goes through, or maybe it's a temporary fad that someone in our family is going through. 2,000 years after the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, Jesus is still building his church. It's still growing. There's people getting baptized all over the world today, celebrating new life in Christ. And Peter says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that will never perish, spoil, or fade." It's not a temporary seat. You're invited to take a forever seat, a seat that's going to last for all eternity. You see, there's a reason that people throughout history and in all different cultures still today love to sit around a table and eat with family and friends, to celebrate with family and friends around a table, is because every single person you ever lock eyes with is created in the image of God. And we have a God who loves to sit around a table to connect with his people and to celebrate all of the good things that he has for us. In fact, it is the picture. It's the picture that he gives us of when Jesus one day comes again and makes all things right. When he completely, you know, fully inaugurates his kingdom and the fullness of his kingdom comes on earth. We have this picture of the wedding supper of the Lamb. It's a little bit of a confusing term in our culture. But it's essentially a picture of the church, God's people, sitting with Jesus, celebrating for all of eternity. Let me just read from Revelation chapter 19. It says, "Let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory," because there's going to be a lot of rejoicing. There's going to be a lot of celebrating in heaven. Today is just a tiny foretaste of what is to come. Some of the celebrating we're doing today is just a little taste of what we're one day going to receive for all of eternity. "But let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory, for the wedding of the Lamb has come and his bride has made herself ready. Fine linen, bright and clean, was given to her to wear. Then the angel said to me, 'Write this. Blessed are those," kids, I'm going to need your help one more time. "Blessed are those who are something to the wedding supper of the Lamb." Kids, one last word. Does anybody know? Right up the back, big loud voice. Let's see if he's right. Invited. Come on, come on down the front. Blessed are those who give him a big hand as he comes. I got two people. Come on, come on. I got two shriveled eggs. Come on. They're all your, that same amount of chocolate, mate. It'll taste just the same. Give these young men a big hand. This fella got one too. Both of you yelled out at the same time. You're blessed if you're invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb. It's going to be a great celebration, a great party. We're going to sit around a table and celebrate with King Jesus for all eternity and with one another for all of eternity. So get used to the person you're sitting next to this morning. You're invited. You're invited to a seat at Jesus' table. Everyone is invited. There was a woman who turned up to Jesus' table uninvited, and everybody else in the room, all the religious people in the room, didn't want her there. She'd lived a colourful life, and she was known as a sinful woman. She hadn't lived up to their standards. She was an outcast, colourful life and a sinful woman. She was broken, broken woman. She just comes and weeps at Jesus' feet. Nobody else wanted her there, but Jesus says, "You're invited. You're invited to come. Let me heal you. Let me pour my forgiveness and love into your life. You are invited." And if you're here this morning, and maybe you've got a colourful past, maybe you know you're a sinner, maybe there's a whole bunch of things that just feel broken on the inside right now, can I just encourage you, there's a seat at Jesus' table for you. He wants to heal you one day at a time. He wants to love you. He wants to forgive you. He wants to pour out his blessings upon your life. There was a young, uneducated fisherman named Peter. And Peter was a guy with good intentions. He just wanted to do the right thing. He wanted to do the good thing. But he kept making mistakes, kept stuffing it all up. And Jesus invited him to the table in a really powerful way. He said, Peter, I'm going to use you to build my church. In fact, he was the first person ever that had the privilege of sharing, like I'm sharing today, the good news of what Jesus has done for us. Can I encourage you here, if you're here this morning, if you're young, maybe you've got good intentions and you keep making some mistakes, your past does not determine your future. Your mistakes in the past do not determine the mighty future, the mighty purpose that God has for you. There was a seat at the table for Peter, and there's a seat at the table for you to find your purpose and to live out the purposes of God in this generation. There was an old guy set in his ways named Nicodemus. And Nicodemus came to Jesus and just couldn't get his head around what Jesus was trying to tell him. He was resistant to the gospel that Jesus was trying to share with him. He was an older guy who was set in his ways. And maybe that's you this morning, whether you're online or in the room. You've had a set mind about who God is and you decided a long time ago it's not really for you. It does not matter how resistant you've been to the gospel for a year or for decades. There's a seat at the table for you. Because Nicodemus, he had a change of mind. He had a change of heart. He was actually one of the ones that took Jesus' dead body and cared for it and laid it in a tomb, honoring Jesus. He changed his mind about Jesus and he put his faith in Jesus, and it's not too late for you to do the same, even if you've been set in your ways for a long time. There was a guy who did love money a lot more than God. His name was Zacchaeus. And he had a pretty fancy chair in his house because he had a lot of money. But he's the only one sitting in it. He was lonely. He found there's a whole lot of things that money couldn't buy. And yet Jesus invited him to take a seat at his table. Jesus sat with him and had lunch. And as they sat at the table, Zacchaeus had a change of heart. He changed, you know, his plans for the future. And I want to encourage you, if you are struggling with loving money more than God or loving anything more than God, you kind of have things that keep drawing you away from God, come and sit at the table and let Jesus change your heart. You don't have to have your heart all together. You don't have to have your life all together to take a seat at the table. It's actually at the table. It's in the presence of Jesus that he'll change you. He'll change your heart and he'll change your hopes for the future. There's a seat at the table for you. And lastly, there's a lady named Mary, and she took a seat at Jesus' feet. She just loved listening to his words, loved being in his presence. And yet her family members said, Mary, you've got other priorities. There's other things that are more important, other things that you should be doing. But Jesus interrupted and said, Mary's taken the right seat. She's taken the most important seat. She's sitting at my feet. She's sitting in my presence because she wants to know me more. And can I just encourage all of us today? There is a seat for you at Jesus' table. There's a seat for Mary to just come and sit at his feet. It's the most important seat that you'll ever take. And there's a seat for you wherever you're at on the journey of following Jesus. There is a seat for you. He wants you to get to know him more. He wants you to sit at his table. Doesn't matter what your family say. It doesn't matter the mistakes you made in the past. If today there's something in your heart that's just saying, I want to know Jesus more, there's a seat for you. There's a seat at the table for you. There's a seat for everyone. Don't settle for less. Live every day seated in the heavenly realms with the risen Jesus. I'm going to give you an opportunity today, whether you're online or in the room, to actually take your seat at the table, to actually put your faith in Jesus as Lord and Saviour. Ask Him to forgive your sins and make a decision to walk with Him, to live with Him, to be seated with Him as your King for all eternity. I'm going to ask everyone to close their eyes and bow their heads. If that's you today, whether you're young or old, whether you've been resistant to the gospel for a long time, whether you've been settling for less for decades, there's a seat for you. It's a free seat. It's a finished seat. It's a full seat. And it's a forever seat. Just while everyone's eyes are closed and heads are bowed, if you want to say yes to Jesus today, ask Him to come and take the rightful place in your life as the risen King. Forgive your sins. Just while everyone's eyes are closed and heads bowed, can I just get you to raise your hands just for a minute and say, that's me. I want to pray that prayer today. Come on, just raise your hands just so I can see it. Just for a moment. Bless you. That's awesome. Who else today? Just say, bless you. Bless you. That's awesome. Who else today? Good man. Good decision. Bless you. I can see you. Anybody else today? If you're online, just stick your, press that button just saying, I'm making that decision today. If anybody else today just making that decision, bless you, right out the back. I'm going to encourage you, whether you're online or in the room with us here today, if that's the decision you're making, let's pray that prayer together. Heavenly Father, thank you for your extravagant love for me. I'm sorry for the way that I've sinned against you. Thank you for sending your Son Jesus to die in my place. And I ask today that you would forgive my sin. And I believe today that Jesus rose from the dead. And I choose to follow you, Jesus, for all eternity as my King. I pray in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Hey, can we just put our hands together to celebrate with those making that decision? If that's your decision today, please let us know online, or if you're in the room, please go to our welcome desk on the way out. We want to give you a gift, free gift, just to help you get started in following Jesus as the risen King of your life. Please do that today. Why don't we all stand together, and we're going to celebrate with all God's people, all of those who have taken that forever seat because of what Jesus has done for us. We're going to declare with multitudes, with generation after generation, that Jesus is the Lamb of God, is the risen King. Come on, let's celebrate Him well this morning.
To breathe the air of heaven where pain is gone, mercy fills the streets, to look upon the one who bled to save me and walk with Him for all eternity. resurrection, and we'll stand beside the heroes of the faith. And with one voice, 1,000 generations, we'll sing, worthy is the Lamb who was slain.
Joining us here today on Resurrection Sunday. What a huge joy it has been. If you are visiting with us, I'd love to invite you back next Sunday. And any Sunday, everyone who comes through those doors, everyone who joins us online is welcome. But right now, I want to wish you all the very best for the rest of the weekend. Head out the front, grab a hot cross bun on your way out. Kids, head across the road for the Easter egg hunt, and may God bless you this Easter. See you around.